of these things. Before the story can continue, says New Testament scholar Joel Green, of the disciples in the last chapter of Luke's Gospel, before the story can continue, a few grave impediments must be surmounted. He might as well say the same of us. Before the story can continue, before the news of God's victory over death can be proclaimed, before the gospel can be believed in the places where people are dying for want of a word, a gesture, a glimpse of God's grace, before the church can say the word she has been given to say on behalf of the world's future, a few grave impediments have to be surmounted. This morning, we will do business with one of them. The gravest impediment of them all, Green says, is the disciples' failure to apprehend fully the meaning of their acclamation, "The Lord is risen indeed." Likewise, most of us said more than we knew on Easter Sunday, accompanied by timpani and trumpet, a full congregation, a glorious choir, and magnificent flowers. Of course we shouted back, "He is risen indeed." But what did we mean? What did we mean? Perhaps it is not so much the true believers who return to worship on the Sundays following Christmas and Easter, but those whose faith seeks understanding. We are like the various Marys of Scripture, who cannot help but ask of an occupied womb and an empty tomb, "How can this be?" We ask because we long to apprehend, if not fully, then through a glass darkly, the meaning of "He is risen indeed." We have come to seek help with understanding what eternal life has to do with the lives we must lead in the face of death. We show up in the hope that one day we may comprehend enough of the mystery of faith that we finally will be the witnesses Jesus says that we already are. When Jesus appears to the 11 and their companions in Jerusalem in the upper room, they're trying to figure out for themselves the meaning of what had just happened. Two among them had returned to Jerusalem from dinner in Emmaus and were relating the most incredible story about a stranger who came alongside them as they were walking, asking them about the events of the weekend. In response, you could say that the disciples were witnesses. They were witnesses to the death of a friend. They, like we, were trying to make sense of a tragedy, of the untimely and violent execution of someone whose life had given them hope. What in their own experience could they draw upon to help them come to terms with the fact that death foreclosed the future they had thought was possible with him? What did they have inside themselves? Maybe their grief would subside over time, they thought. Maybe another prophet would come along who had the gumption for revolution. Or maybe, just maybe, they were destined to catch fish until death came for them. At this point in the story, about their encounter with the risen Christ, I imagine the disciples and their companions in Jerusalem listening to it comprehended completely what the two were telling them. The facts fit their way of knowing. Even the next part of the story is plausible. The two say that when they had finished telling what had happened over the last 3 days, the stranger began to offer another interpretation of the same events. Beginning with Moses and the prophets, the stranger did business with the facts the disciples had just rehearsed. Tracing the story of God's redeeming purposes over the story of Jesus' suffering and dying and rising, the two understood nothing. The grave impediment remained because the stranger's understanding of the facts did not fit the finality of death that had imposed itself on their way of knowing what they knew for sure. I think this is so for us. Words about being raised from the dead and eternal life do not fit the way we know what we know for sure. Nevertheless, being hospitable to the stranger, as Torah commanded them to be, they invited him in. Just as we invite his word into our lives for about an hour once a week. Knowing his words alone, though, were not sufficient to remove the impediment that kept them from faith. So, knowing that the words were not enough, the stranger sat down at table with him and broke bread and gave it to them. God's means of grace. As they recognize Jesus' living presence in the act of breaking and blessing and giving them bread, their minds were opened to the meaning of his suffering, his dying, and his rising on the third day. To the meaning of he is risen indeed. To the meaning of the words and the witness embedded in the scriptures. But, in that upper room in Jerusalem, as the witness of these two turned from death to life, the rest of the disciples stopped tracking the story. According to Luke, a discussion ensued. There are things that do not add up here, that do not make sense. If the stranger were Jesus, why did the two not know him immediately? What do you mean that you recognized him when he broke bread, but not before? Then he vanished? Really? While they were talking about this, Luke says, Jesus himself stood among them. The first word he speaks is peace. He bestows upon them the well-being only God can give. And in response, they are terrified. Terrified. I think they're terrified because they're in the presence of their living Lord, but they don't know it. Not only do they not recognize Jesus or mistake him for a stranger, they think he is a ghost. So in response to their destroyed. We are back to Mary's question, now awash in astonishment. How can this be? Then Jesus asks for something to eat. As he did in Emmaus, he joins them at the table in Jerusalem and eats a piece of broiled fish. I love the detail. Still, the grave impediment remains. The facts require interpretation. Not even incontrovertible evidence is capable of producing faith, Green says. Even if we had been there to touch his hands, to touch his feet, to see his wounds, to watch him swallow, we would not know what we were seeing. Because faith is a gift that is given as the Spirit opens our minds to understand the Scriptures and our lives through the lens of God's self-giving love. Let me say that again. Faith is a gift that is given to us through God's Spirit as God's Spirit opens our mind to understand and interpret the Scriptures as well as our lives through the lens of God's self-giving love in Jesus Christ. Only as Jesus, who is God's self-giving love, opens their minds to understand the Scriptures, do the disciples become witnesses of these things. Do they understand the meaning of what they have seen? The grave impediment is removed, and they soon will be empowered to proclaim the gospel to all the nations, to the whole wide world. Until our minds are opened to understand the Scriptures, Green says, we lack the categories for rendering the seeming tragedy of his crucifixion and the unimaginable joy of his resurrection and risen presence as meaningful. We can say we've heard the claim, but it doesn't fit. Until the love that is stronger than death takes hold of our minds and our hearts and our lives, until the death and resurrection of our first century Jew becomes the lens through which we glimpse what it is to be human, until his living presence opens our eyes to see what it looks like to live in response to the love that never ends, then the faith that lends meaning to life's suffering and tragedies, as well as life's joys and gladness, will escape us, and the story will not continue. resurrection as the starting point for what is true about being human and about living in relation to God, about dying and being born again. If it is true, it has to be the starting point of a wholly new way of understanding the cosmos and the human situation in the cosmos. What changed their minds? It actually was quite simple. The scriptures interpreted and the sacraments celebrated. Scripture, table, font. They are the means of grace that parents of children being baptized and that newly baptized adults, they are the means of grace that they promise always to make diligent use of. Sunday after Sunday, God's Spirit opens our minds to understand the scriptures through the lens of God's self-giving love in Jesus Christ. At table, we recognize his living presence among us in the breaking of bread. That's what happened 2,000 years ago to those disciples, and that is what continues to happen to those who are witnesses. We see what love is doing to make all things new, including us. We are witnesses, and we are witnesses, this is the final point, not for our own sake, but for the sake of the world God so loved. We are witnesses to love's triumph for the sake of the world in the thrall of death. Therefore, it follows that the church's task, the task of those who are witnesses to these things, is to interpret in every mode of address each reality in the world as an occasion of that hope which is there if Jesus lives. To treat in words and speaking deeds each hope and fear as hope for love's triumph. My friends, the story continues with us. The story continues with our witness, the witness of Christ's church, the witness of this congregation, to the love that is stronger than death. He is risen means that he will surprise us on the road to Emmaus when we have lost all hope. And at the table in the breaking of bread, and in the upper room of our minds, just believing for joy because we will never fully apprehend the mystery of God's love. In a world that daily bears witness to death, see the hope that is entertainable only if Jesus lives. For you are witnesses. Let us pray. O Savior of our lives, we know you have gone before us in all things, even in the death we must die. Surprise us on the roads we have taken because we live as though the gospel were not true. Give us eyes to see the hope that is entertainable only if you live. Hear our thanksgiving for a little Liam reborn into this family of faith at the font. Our gratitude for those who are about to kneel in your service. Our petitions for your help, for all who are broken in body or mind, especially Jean Hardwick. Grant them both patience and perseverance. Comfort those who mourn across the sea for our brothers and sisters in faith who drowned because they confessed your name. Bestow upon this troubled world the peace only you can give. And open to us the scriptures that we may trace your saving grace over our days. Enter our bolted hearts and be known to our astonished minds in the gift of your Spirit. Return us to the world God so loved.